unto thee. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon
Good morning, you beloved community. Good to see you all today. Thank you for joining us for this, the fourth Sunday of Advent. My name is Steve Sargent. I am the minister here at Southwest Central Church of Christ. For our longtime folks, welcome. So glad to see you today. If you're watching online, thanks for joining us that way. If you are visiting with us, whether in person or online, we're especially grateful for your presence as well. So thank you. All right, a couple of matters of business. You got a couple of cards in front of you if you want to fill some of those out. The blue ones, letting us know you're here. Yellow ones, to send out some encouragement. Those pink ones, if you have some kind of prayer request or need that you want to share with our shepherds, you can place all those in the offering plate a little bit later in our service. Also, if you're watching online, we are going to share communion together, and you are more than welcome to grab some supplies and share with that with us a little bit later in our service, too. All right, Hidden Jesus, this is the fourth Sunday of Advent, so this is the fourth and final time that we're doing this. You see Hidden Jesus up on the screen. Last week, I understand that Jesus was a little too hard to find. Sometimes that can happen, even at church. I absolutely love that Carter and Lily looked all up on this stage behind me throughout all these fake plants, scouring them all. Where is he? And if stuff like that ever distracts our songs, then so be it. I want to be someone who seeks Jesus like they did. So I will say to our young friends, Jesus is indeed hidden in this room, but Jesus is not among any of these red plants right here, okay? So there's your one hint for today. He's somewhere else today. During our few songs and just a moment, you are welcome to walk all over this auditorium and find him. Our fourth Advent candle joins with the others. This is the candle of love, representing God's great love for you, God's beloved child, and God's great love for all of creation. Love joins with hope and peace and joy, and the light of the four shine brighter together than by themselves. I'm going to light these Christ candles. We'll do our call to worship, and then we will sing and worship together. I invite you to stand, please, for our call to worship. All of these are in your program, your bulletin for today. You can follow along there. Your parts are the parts in bold, or you can just look up on the screen. The parts in yellow are yours. Here's our call to worship today from the book of Micah. Not in the mighty places of power, but in little Bethlehem, in a room out back, the Messiah is coming. Not born in nobility and wealth, but of Mary and Joseph, who pondered and planned. The Messiah is coming. Not announced by prophets, priests, and king, but by two women who were the first to know. Messiah is coming. Nothing will be impossible for God, but when and where we least expect it. Look among the straw and the stars. The Messiah is coming. Let's sing together.
On the fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee, may I still thy goodness prove, while the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Never let me wander from thee, never leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. The first Noel the angel did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. They looked up and saw a star shining in the east beyond them. And to the air it gave great light, and so it continued both day and night. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. And by the light of that same star, three wise men came from country afar to see for a king was their intent, and to follow the star wherever it went. Noel, Noel, born is the King of Israel. This star drew nigh to the northwest, or Bethlehem it took its rest. And there it did both stop and stay, right over the place where Jesus lay. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel.
Let's be seated. Our prayer of adoration today, if you'll follow in the parts of that are yellow, please. God of Advent joy, we adore you for turning this world upside down. You take no notice of the powerful, the loud, or the showy. You were born in a tiny town in a humble manger bed. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. God of the humble and the ordinary, we adore you for caring about things we often overlook, for choosing the powerless and insignificant to reveal God's love to all. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. God of patience and promises, you came to earth to burst the bubble of those who passed themselves up, to lift up the lowly and fill the hungry with good things. My soul proclaims the goodness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.
Watchmen, tell us of the night, what its signs of promise are. Traveler, what a wondrous sight, see that glory-beaming star. Watchman, doth its beauteous ray news of hope or joy foretell? Traveler, yes, it brings the day, promised day of Israel. Traveler, yes, it brings the day, promised day of Israel. Watchmen, tell us of the night, higher yet that star ascends. Traveler, blessedness and light, peace and truth its course portends. Watchman, will its beams alone gild the spot that gave them birth? Traveler, ages are its own. See it burst o'er all the earth. Traveler, ages are its own. See it burst o'er all the earth. Watchmen, tell us of the night, for the morning seems to dawn. Traveler, darkness takes its flight, doubt and terror are withdrawn. Watchman, you may go your way, hasten to your quiet home. Traveler, we rejoice today, for Emmanuel has come. Traveler, we rejoice today, for Emmanuel has come.
A prayer of confession, followed by a prayer in silence, a time in silence for all of us. And then Lily will come and read a declaration of forgiveness over us. We'll start with the prayer of confession. You'll join in the parts of yellow, please. God, our Savior, we ask for your mercy. Though we have heard Mary's song, we still seek security in pride and power and possessions. Though we know your story, we still resist the costs of following you. We pass by those considered lowly in this world. We turn away from hungry people. Forgive us, we pray. Help us to work in ways you intend and give us opportunities to do so. As we wait for you, turn our apathy into love and service. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. Amen.
Declaration of Forgiveness. Friends, God is for us and not against us. For that very reason, God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God.
Luke 1:47-55. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud to their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their throne, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he has promised our ancestors."
Good morning. Thank you, Lily, for that beautiful declaration. I was telling Lily earlier that at the head of our psalm for today, in your Bible, it might have a little note that says, "To the leader on lilies, a covenant," or "To the lily of the covenant," some psalms say. And nobody really knows for sure what that means, but many scholars think it probably means that there was a melody called the Lily of the Covenant, or the lilies, that this psalm, the song leader, would have used to direct the congregation in singing the psalm. I don't know what that melody sounded like, because that was a long time ago. About 3,000 years ago is when David lived, and so we can imagine if 3,000 years from now in 5,000, someone found our program and it said, "Watchmen tell us of the night," to the tune of "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," they might be scratching their heads as well and wouldn't know what that melody is. But I'm going to read a few extra verses from this psalm, in addition to the ones that are after our slides, that might suggest, maybe, who knows, why that melody would have seemed appropriate for this psalm. "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. Turn again, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and see. Have regard for this vine, the stock that your right hand planted. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved."
Caleb, thanks for reading that and sharing some thoughts about it. Chelsea, thanks for reading as well. All right, our youngest friends, we have a table for you just at the back right-hand corner. If you want to join the Roots table, Miss Brandy is already on her way, and you can go sit there this morning during the duration of the service and then come back for sharing the Lord's table together. Let's pray together, please. Give ear to us this day, O God, and also give us ears to hear. Pour through me now the gift of preaching. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. I have read that one of the best spots in the United States to welcome in a new year is not New York City to watch the ball drop, but in Acadia National Park in Bar Harbor, Maine. As the easternmost part of this country, you are to hike up Cadillac Mountain, the highest point all around, and supposedly you'll be the first to witness the first sunrise of the year. Since the first light on that January 1st comes around 7 a.m., you'll have to get an early start. Waking up at 3 a.m., get your coffee on, your hiking shoes, drive to the park, get to the trailhead, hike 2 to 3 hours to get to the top, hunker down, and wait for the show to begin. The author of an article I recently read about this New Year's greeting, he wrote this about his experience. There was a whole crowd of folks trudging up the road to get to the top in preparation for that sunny goal. Little did we know, the smart one stayed under the tree line until the last minute. Temperatures hung around 0 degrees Fahrenheit, and a wind chill pushed it somewhere to negative 30. We should have waited out of that wind. But stubborn and close, we ignored the fact that the inside of our mittens were freezing. We disregarded the buffeting gusts. Thankfully, we were not the only ones with little care for the weather, because all around us were people bundled together in small groups. The sunrise took longer than we had hoped for, but it was better than we could imagine. Getting to see the light break through the darkness and experience that wave of warmth from the light and the excitement of the crowd, it was a magical experience. Slowly at first, and then all at once, the sun rose from the horizon in a deep orange that turns the blackest night purple as it opens up the sky. The whooping and hollering of our fellow silly folk were electric, and one group had saved their New Year champagne for this chance. As wonderful as that sounds to me, I live nowhere near Maine, and as much as I love to hike any place, I don't know if I want to get up that early to do so. The siren call of my warm bed says, just read someone else's description of it later and go back to sleep, and I think, sounds like a plan to me. Christmas morning is on the horizon. The break of dawn is coming, just a few days away, and we stand along the eastern seaboard to await and watch for the sun's full arrival, when deep oranges turn the night purple and the sky opens up. Other people are here too, making the daring Advent trek as we have. Whatever coldness we feel, whatever the wind blows in, their presence provides us some heat, huddling together, shivering. We place the youngest and the most vulnerable in the middle to protect them from the elements as we can, though you and I both know that we cannot keep them safe from every icy threat. Maybe we should have stayed in bed, warm and secure, this fourth, but now that we're 6 days away from Christmas, this fourth and final Sunday of Advent, has a word for us today. The sunrise may take longer than we hoped for, but it will be better than we could possibly imagine. We've heard two songs read over us this morning, one from Luke chapter 1, one from Psalm 80. Psalm 80 is sung by a national choir, Luke 1, a female solo. Psalm 80, a song of lament. Luke 1, a song of rejoicing. Psalm 80 is about absence. Luke 1, about presence. The fact that they are linked together by the lectionary is a little jarring to me. Its content contradictory. Most people, so close to Christmas, will want to attend Mary's concert, since she is one of the stars of the show. For very good reason, too, we want to hear her sing, that voice, that bravado. She is a representation of all that Christmas is about. Meanwhile, the choral group is relegated to an off-Broadway theater, a cozy, intimate venue with two-person tables and a small bar at the back. Fewer music fans attend this show this time of year, fewer Christians, that is, no matter if they're nominal or serious. The Jewish community takes up most of the available seating, and that makes sense. Psalm 80 is originally a Jewish song, of course. It's straight from the Israelite hymnal. We Christians just borrow it. It's lent to us. It is not our birthright, no more than Cadillac Mountain is our personal possession. Curious, let's do borrow it for a bit. But gently and with ears attuned, wondering why it makes an appearance now. Securing a ticket and showing up fashionably late, we enter in, order a club soda, and find a seat near the back. The song is in Hebrew, and most of us don't know Hebrew. But thankfully, subtitles on the side screens translate it for us in real time. We don't need a translation, however, to feel the hymn, for it rattles the bones within us. This is a carol of mourning and grief, the type they don't play on the Hallmark Channel's radio station. The TV monitor on the side tells us that the people are singing to a God who is not listening, who is convening with angels above rather than amongst the sheep below, who is showing no inclination of mighty power to save the people from whatever predicament they currently find themselves in. Elohim Hasibenu, the Hebrew chorus goes, God, restore us, return to us, let your face shine that we may be saved. God is not responding. So the psalmist guesses that God must be upset with them for some reason, but no one knows why. O Lord, God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers, one line says. Is God's anger directed at the prayer's content or at the people themselves? Do the people need to take responsibility for something they've done wrong, if anything? Or has God withdrawn from the bleeding sheep for another reason? We don't know. And the psalmist does not either. Whatever it is, God's smoking fury means that God's meager provisions to them come across as soggy bread and pints of their own salty tears. God is on the hook for this paltry meal. You have fed them. You have made them drink. What kind of nourishment is that? No wonder the nation neighbors laugh at them and mock them. Elohim Hasibenu, God, restore us, return to us. Let your face shine that we may be saved. The song continues on for much longer, as Caleb gratefully read for us. But since our Christian lectionary includes just a taste of the psalm, rather than serving from the whole platter, we pause our listening here not for lack of interest, but because seven verses of it gives us plenty enough to consider for now. Either that, or we tune out the rest because wet bread and salty tears don't sound too appetizing, especially not when we can smell with joy the main course from 6 days away. As hungry as we may be for Christmas, it's that first reason we choose to lean toward today, the plenty enough to consider part. Because while Israel's national song for presents was for a particular instance, the cry itself is a universal one, and a timeless one too, as ancient as the sun's predictable pattern. Hearing them sing, we recognize that the urgent requests forever stay the same. Hear, awaken, restore, shine, please. No matter if we pray these words all the time for ourselves or for other people or for the world in general, these imperative requests blur the lines between physical needs and emotional needs and spiritual needs, and they meld ultimately into just one need, the nearness of God. We come to know, like that Hebrew choir knew, that without God's turning, there is no light. Unless God spins around and looks, there is no deliverance. Without God's presence, there is no life. Elohim Hasibenu, God, restore us, return to us. Let your face shine so that we may be saved. Psalm 80, a national choir, Luke 1, a female solo. Psalm 80, lament, Luke 1, rejoicing. Psalm 80, absence, Luke 1, presence. We realize that as odd as it sounds, Psalm 80 is not the antithesis of Mary's Magnificat anthem. They are not polar opposites of each other, reversed magnets that push away from one another. It's not two songs being sung at different tempo, different pitch, different beat, a lyrical mashup that hurts the ears. Rather, the two harmonize like a friendship between notes. Sometimes we sing in a crowd. Sometimes we sing by ourselves. Sometimes we can't get out of bed in the mornings. Sometimes we can't help but dance. Sometimes the glaring absence of God. Sometimes God's too real presence. Sitting here in this small theater with Luke's bass guitar thumping through the thin walls, we cannot help but wonder then if it was a mistake to separate Mary from the choir in the first place. Who did that anyway? Surely she didn't. She is herself Jewish, after all, like her vocally talented ancestors before her. Plus, in her own time, how often did the lamenting spirit of Psalm 80 weigh on her small shoulders, unable to escape the controlling shadows that loomed over her and her people. When Mary does sing her Magnificat song for the very first time, she does not take a marker and scribble over the lyrics written centuries before her. She just writes the next lines because of what God is doing in her. According to Luke's gospel, God's face shined, and I wonder what that looked like. God's face shined toward Mary, planting in the deepest recesses of her womb a collection of microscopic cells that would one day be pushed out and into the world. One day, that unborn child would be vulnerably born into less than ideal circumstances. And one day, that quizzical child would quiz priests in the temple. And one day, that child would become a man who would proclaim and model a kingdom of upside-down newness. And one day, people like us who are not Jewish would, by grace, be able to contribute our own voices to a song that young Mary once sang. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Holy is his name. God's hounding mercy stretches to generations before her and generations after. Tyrants will come and tyrants will return to the dust. But God will feed the hungry with good things. God's promised presence will be near. If you can sing with Mary this Christmas, then sing as loud as you possibly can. Worship, because you have come to believe in the action and the presence of God who restores and shines and saves, that God will not leave anyone in the dark. If you can't quite bring yourself to sing those words for whatever reason, that's okay. Borrow Psalm 80 instead. It's a song of lament, and it's also a song of faith. And singing it, you are led to trust that God will teach you how to walk in the dark for as long as you cannot yet sense the light. Instead of one song or the other this season, maybe instead sing both, or at least listen to both, if not for yourself, then on behalf of others. The rejoicing and the weeping, the choir and the solo, and then lean into the promise that in love, God is always being born into the world in God's way and in God's time. Just 6 days before Christmas, friends, we've made our final ascent up Advent Mountain. While it would have been safer to wait below the tree line and out of the wind, we go anyway, and together we sing before dawn. What will it mean for us when the light of Christ comes? Huddling together, the sunrise may take longer than we hope for, but it will be better than we can possibly imagine. Thanks be to God. And together we say, or we type, amen. Let's stand for this song, and then I will come back up and we will share the Lord's table together. Let's sing together.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Alleluia, alleluia. The burning sun with golden beam, the silver moon with with softer gleam. All praise him, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Thou rushing wind that heart so strong, ye clouds that sail in heaven along, oh, praise him, alleluia. Thou rising morn in praise rejoice, ye lights of evening find a voice, oh, praise him, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Thou flowing water, pure God, our giving of the Savior part, oh, sing ye, alleluia. Who long pain and sorrow bear, praise God and on him cast your care. Oh, praise him, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Let all things their Creator bless, and worship him in humbleness. Oh, praise him, alleluia. Praise Father, Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise him, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Praise be to God for the light that is coming. Praise be to the God whose light has come. It's that light that draws us to this table this morning with the bread before us, with a cup before us that we get to share together because of what God has done. As we become accustomed to doing, if you would like to help share the bread and the cup to the congregation, you can join me in just a moment after I pray, and we'll divvy up this room and eat and drink together. If you're watching online, now's a great time to get your supplies ready. Let's pray together, please. We praise thee, O God, for the light that has come and the light that is coming. This week, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. And we pray that even at this time and right now, as we eat and drink together, we give you thanks for these things, for Christ, who lives and breathes among us. It's through him that we pray. Amen. All right, we also have an opportunity to give. Thank you for giving. No matter how you give it, if you put it in collection plate as it passes on by today, or give online, or bring it to the office, mail it in, thank you for supporting the work that goes on in this place. Alex and Glenn are going to walk around in just a bit. Let's pray together, and then they will do so. For all the gifts you have given to us, O God, we give you thanks. Those gifts you have given are far too numerous to count, and we give you thanks anyway. So now we also give, not only of our funds, but also ourselves. And we pray with all of these things that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's because of Christ we pray. Amen. All right, just a couple of things to share with you. I look much better today because I am surrounded by all these beautiful plants. Thank you for those of you who donated some money to give in honor of or in memory of someone in your program today. Hopefully you see the full list of these folks who both gave and persons they gave in honor of or memory of. If your name is on the list, then you may take one of these poinsettias with you. Take it home. If your name is on there a couple times, take a couple of them and give one away to somebody else. There will most certainly be extras up here, so anyone else can take one as well. Take one home, plant it. I think Glenn Harper tells me that his comes up about every year around this time again, because he planted a while ago. So if you want to do that, that's great. If you have neighbors who maybe can't get out or shut in, someone who is not part of this congregation, bless them with one of these today. We will have plenty. All right. There are no Bible classes the next two Sundays, giving all of our teachers a break from that. And that will be for the next two Sundays, but we do have them today all over this building, from our youngest to our oldest. They are all over the building. We hope that you can stick around and be a part of one of these classes today. All right. Thanks for walking this Advent journey with not only me, but with each other. I'm very grateful to do this with you. As we're sent out in benediction today, I ask that you please stand and receive this blessing as we go forth from here. Friends, go in peace, trusting in the promises of God. May the God of justice be your path, the Lord of mercy be your guide, and the Spirit of love be your light, this day and forevermore. Amen.